The following program is pre-recorded. If you aren't thinking about owning a stock for 10 years, don't even think about owning it for 10 minutes. That quote is from a guy who's made a tidy sum in the stock market. You may have heard of him. His name is Warren Buffett. As the Wall Street roller coaster ride continues and the nation nosedives into recession, uncertainty certainly does abound. Still, some things are knowable. Host Rob West gets some educated predictions from investing expert Bob Dahl today. Then it's your calls on anything at 800-525-7000, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Pain and opportunity, that's next right here on MoneyWise. Well, Rob, it's always a treat when Bob Dahl checks in. He's a senior portfolio manager and the chief equity strategist at Nuveen Asset Management, where he manages assets totaling over $4 billion.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Steve. It's always a treat to get his sage advice, especially these days as the coronavirus outbreak rocks the economy and the market is gyrating to and fro. Bob, a true delight to have you back on MoneyWise.
Great to be here and hear you guys.
Thank you. Bob, what are some things we can be fairly certain of in these challenging times where it seems like certainty is at a premium?
Yeah, I like the way you put it. They're unusual. There is more we don't know than we do know. Now, there's always stuff we don't know, but the uncertainty levels are higher. One thing we do know is we are in a deep recession.
Yeah.
We hope it's a short recession, as most virus-connected recessions are, and therefore we know also this is an exogenous event. It came from the outside. It's not some structural break inside our economy like 2008 was or even the Great Depression. And the other thing we know is the policymakers have come with guns blazing.
Yes.
I mean, what they have packed, both in amount and time frame, both monetary and fiscal policy, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Now, we know the market's going to remain volatile. So let me just review for those less connected with all this. We have the fastest bear market in history. In 16 days, the stock market went down 20%.
Wow.
But it continued to go down, and within 23 trading days, was down 35%. And then we had the biggest rally in history, 13 days up 25%. Never happened before. That's volatility. That's the best way to describe it, just to give that example.
There's going to be courses taught on volatility using a 30-day window of time around coronavirus because it was the definition of it. And just underscored, Bob, did it not, the importance of a long-term strategy, because the ability to get whipsawed in a market like this is really high, isn't it?
It really is. You've got to keep your eye on the long-term prize. Why are you investing? What's the purpose? Yeah, and you have to have understanding what your risk tolerances are along the way. But, you know, I tell people, turn it off. Yeah. Don't pay attention to every day. You're not saving today for tomorrow. You're not investing today for next week. Back to where you all started, Warren Buffett. If you don't think of owning it for 10 minutes if you're trying to own it for 10 years. And that's exactly right. Volatility is key, and we've had a lot of it. But thankfully, of late, more of it's been to the upside.
Yeah. Bob, we have a lot to cover while you're with us today, just about a minute until our first break. What about the rest of the world? You know, the U.S. was really rocking along quite well in terms of the strength of our economy. There was some problem areas in the world, and now with coronavirus on top of that, are their challenges going to be more prolonged, and could that spill over and make our recovery even more difficult?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right in that the U.S. is probably going to come out of this faster because we went into it in a healthier way, and some of the short and longer term structural problems in, for example, Europe are only getting manifest in this period. So it's going to be a harder ride for them. And that's why the U.S. stock market has gone down less than non-U.S. markets.
Well, we've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to dive into the policymakers. You referenced what's going on there, and I completely agree. Incredible to see the response there. We'll talk about what they've done and how that will impact us. We'll talk about this recession that you already are describing as deep and hopefully brief. We'll unpack that a bit more and much, much more right around the corner.
That's right. Bob Dahl with us today from Nuveen Asset Management. When we come back, what to expect, how this will impact you, your retirement years, that, and more. This is MoneyWise. Your host is Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. Later in the program, we're taking your calls on anything at 800-525-7000. Don't go away.
Even in these uncertain times, you can replace fear with hope. And Michael Blue's new book, Financial Hope, is a hands-on study to help you do just that. A short assessment will show you exactly where you are now. You'll then unlock the four H's of biblical financial wisdom and put your action plan in writing to transform your finances. Right now, you can request your copy of Financial Hope when you support MoneyWise with a gift of $25 or more at moneywise.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Well, there's lots of activity going on today, maybe not in your office, but certainly on Wall Street. And here to explain all this to us and to give us his thoughts and recommendations and encouragement, we trust, is Bob Dahl from Nuveen Asset Management.
Rob? Yeah, Bob, I was just reflecting on what you said a moment ago. And I mean, imagine as we started this year, if I were to tell you, Bob, in just a couple of months, you're going to utter the words, and we're already in a deep recession. I mean, the thought that that would even be possible was so far from our radar. And yet, when you bring the U.S. economy to a screeching halt, things can change in a hurry, right?
Exactly. We essentially turned the economy off. This is an engineered recession. It didn't happen to us.
Yeah.
We made it happen. And that's going to go in the history books, as you point out. Who would have thunk it?
Absolutely. Let's talk about those policymakers. You mentioned that they're deploying every tool available, doing whatever it takes. The U.S. is certainly leading in that, but the rest of the world is also following suit. So just give us a sense of some of these tools and what's been done.
So the whatever it takes phrase will go in the history books. The policymakers, whether it's monetary or fiscal, believe that Americans individually and businesses did not create this problem, and therefore they're going to try to make all of us whole. Monetary policy, of course, is what's controlled by the central bank of the United States. We call them the Fed. The amount of money that's in the system, how that money is used to make markets work. Fiscal policy is what's controlled by Congress and the president. How much money are we going to spend? How much taxation are we going to do? And that controls parts of the budget of the United States. Mm-hmm. On the monetary side, the Fed lowered rates, provides credit facilities, announced that they are the lender of last resort. They're saying in several different ways, we will do whatever it takes, purchasing assets out in the open market, first to make sure the markets are operating and functioning properly, and then to lay in the groundwork for when we do have recovery, that there's a lot of juice there to make it happen. Yeah. And we could go on and on.
Yeah.
On the fiscal side, we have a Congress that spent several bills, the biggest one being the $2 trillion bill of a few weeks ago. And that's aimed at the places they're getting hit hardest, people who have lost their jobs, businesses that have had to shut down to try to make them whole. Look, we know, Rob, that all this monetary and fiscal policy will not solve coronavirus.
Yes.
But we do know that when coronavirus does move off the table or lessen, these policies will increase the speed and the ability of the economy to be turned back on again.
Yeah. And that was really key and why we've seen the action that we've seen. But for the average person at home, Bob, they're thinking, okay, we have a roughly $22 trillion economy when it's a typical year. We've got about the same amount in U.S. debt. Can we afford to do what we're doing? And I guess perhaps as good of a question is, can we afford not to do what we're doing? What say you?
At the moment, the policymakers, and I generally agree, are saying we have to make sure that we don't damage in the long term our economy, so let's take care of things. Now, if I can be critical for a second, it'd be a lot smarter if we had run nice surpluses
yes.
in the years when things were so good. We have the longest economic expansion in history,
yeah.
and at the end of it, we should have been running a surplus, but we were running a deficit. So you go from deficit to bigger deficit. That's part of why the price of gold is up. It's part of why the dollar will eventually struggle. And it's part of why somewhere down the line we'll monetize this by printing money and it'll create some inflation.
Yeah.
So the consequences are somebody's got to pay for this. And it'll largely be our kids and our grandkids. But for now, got to do what it takes.
Yeah. Bob, you mentioned the fact that we're already in a deep recession. It's the fastest ever in terms of what we've seen in the market. And by virtue of turning off the U.S. economy, what's happened economically in this country. Give us a sense of what that means and whether you think we'll see any growth this year at all once we get beyond this.
So we have, to repeat, turned off the economy, which means that many businesses have just shut their doors, and everybody knows that lives life. So whether it's a retail establishment, transit, the airline traffic is down more than 95% from normal, as an example. Restaurants are closed. We have 1,000 malls in the United States, roughly, and they're almost all shut. So we essentially have turned it off. Now, the question will be, can we turn it back on? And the answer is, some stuff will turn on quickly. Other stuff, unfortunately, will never come back. And it'll be this in between that takes some time, and that's where the policy has been directed to, so those things come back. And that will happen. It'll be bumpy. It'll be different. They come back in terms of which states do what when, different age groups, different types of businesses. Construction, for example, where people are far apart from one another, it's going to come back faster than a restaurant might. And we could go on and on. It's going to be a fascinating case study about first turning the economy off and then turning it back on.
Yes. But in terms of the market response, Bob, we're hearing letters like V and U and hopefully not L. And that's just a description of perhaps how the market will respond and how it typically does respond in a recession that's event driven like ours is. So what might you expect in terms of the market response?
Well, first of all, the stock market, as we observed, has come off the bottom quite substantially, and that is predicting, if I can use that word, that we are going to have recovery, which is the back part of your earlier question. Yes, we are going to get a recovery. Remember once more, this is an exogenous, a smack in the side of the head, if you will. It is not because there's something wrong inside our body. And so we just have to heal from that wound. Our guess is this is several months of turmoil, but by the end of the year, we will be recovering. It won't be normal by the end of the year, but into next year, we'll get toward that level. I'm not using a V or a U. I'm using a check mark to describe it. So in other words, a big decline and then a slower increase than the decline rate was. And I think it's going to take many months to get back to some semblance of normal. And then there'll be a piece that isn't normal for a couple of years.
I like check marks. Bob, you've already said that if you're in it for the long haul, and that's where you should be if you're in the stock market, that you need to stay the course. We're just about out of time. Encourage us from God's word for just a moment on really the perspective we should have that's eternal.
You know, so first of all, we need to recognize that we're not citizens of this place. We're just passing through. Secondly, I would say a reminder, we all know it, but this tests it. Do we really believe God owns it all? If God wants to take $1 trillion of wealth and wipe it off the face of the planet, he will. And if he wants to restore it, he can do that too. Thirdly, I think we have to remember that we shouldn't hang on to the things we have too tightly. Hang on loosely. God is sovereign. He knew this was going to happen long before you and I even know how to spell the word coronavirus. Yes. You may be out of control. I may be out of control. But God's not out of control. This is a great time to strengthen our faith and share our faith with others.
I love it. Bob Dahl, always a joy to have you with us, my friend. God bless you and stay safe.
God bless you.
Thanks, Bob. And you can read his insightful commentaries at Nuveen.com. This is MoneyWise. We'll be right back with more after this.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at moneywise.org.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost-sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org. Rob West is here taking calls at 800-525-7000. You can also send us an email, just a couple of lines, questions@moneywise.org. Albany, New York. Olivia, you are so patient and we appreciate that. How can we help you?
Yes, Rob, I just wanted to thank you so much for being willing to answer some of my questions. I am 66 years old. My husband divorced me after 38 years of marriage a year and a half ago. And the money I got from him was part of his retirement. I got the home, and it has no mortgage. But last year for taxes, I was stunned. I had to pay over $44,000 to state and local taxes. And so I've got $60,000 to work with. Yesterday, yeah. I met a vice president of the bank that I've been going to for over 20 years, and we spoke about the possibilities of what could be done for me through the bank. And there was something called Gallery Max Equity Composite, which I didn't want to go for because that is a little bit more risky. And then there's Gallery Balanced Composite Gross. And then the lowest was a Gallery Fixed Income. So after I answered all the questions he asked, it came out that the best for me would be the Gallery Balanced Composite. Yeah. And I was originally planning on going to a financial planner who has his own business. But after speaking with this vice president, he was just so wonderful. And I'm wondering what you think about that. And the other thing is, I need to put, I believe you said, 6 months of emergency funds in a liquid savings. And also someone had shared with me that in case of emergencies, it's good to have like $500 cash in your home. And sure. I'm just wondering what you think about those things.
Yeah, very good. Let me just ask one question. Do you have any debt to speak of, Olivia?
I do. I'm embarrassed, but I do. I have $6,000 on my credit card, but I just did a transfer balance, and they didn't charge me anything to do that. And I have until May of 2021 to pay that off. So I figured it would be like about $450 a month in order to get that paid off.
Okay. And the $60,000 you have to invest, do you have any emergency savings in addition to that, or would that be the extent of your savings?
I do have a Roth IRA at 15,000, and I have a CD at 5,000. And
okay,
that's
when does
it.
That mature?
The Roth, it looks like they just renewed it. It looks like it's going to mature in like 4 years. And the CD should be in, I believe, 2021.
Okay, very good. And last question, I know I said that before, but this really is the last question. How much do you spend? What are your expenses on a monthly basis?
I honestly don't know. Okay. I know after I get off the phone with you today, I am going to make a list of everything,
okay.
But it's usually just groceries and gas.
Okay, let's do this. Let me just try to help because there's a lot of moving pieces here. Let me just give you some general counsel, and then I want to get you to somebody who can really get into the nuts and bolts. Number one, even though you have that period where there's no interest on the credit card, I'd like for you to go ahead and pay that off. I think it makes sense for you. Before you were to invest anything, I think we need to go ahead and get rid of all your consumer debt, and it sounds like that's your only one. So I'd write the check, be done with the $6,000, and pay it off. Now you've got $54,000 left. Then I would put away that 6 months of emergency funds. Let's say you're living on $2,500 a month. You'd take 6 months of that and you'd need, $15,000. To be able to have in emergency savings. I'd put that in an online savings account linked to your checking account where you're getting 1.6, 1.7% interest, but it's just a click away from you getting to it if you had an emergency expense. So that takes us to $21,000 that we have going out the door. So if we take that away from our $60,000, you've got $40,000 left. In terms of where you go from here with that, I'd probably make sure that you're funding another year of the Roth IRA if you don't have a plan available at work. And if you want to look at investing the rest of it, I think the key is to make sure this is money that you don't plan to touch for at least 10 years. Because if that's the case, then we could go ahead and get another $6,000 this year into the Roth and then take the balance, which is roughly $30,000, and you could, you know, put that to work. Unless you had other goals that you're saving for in the shorter term, i.e., you need to replace the car and you want to do that without any debt. You have another major expense. If you own a home, you have a major repair coming down the pike, things like that. So I wouldn't be too quick to invest money that you know you need to use, let's say in the next 5 years. I'd pull that from the roughly $30,000 that remains as well. With anything left, now we're talking about investing it. And I would probably look at the expense side of this thing. If you wanted to do it yourself, you could visit with our friends at soundmindinvesting.org, or you could go to one of these robo solutions like the, the Schwab Intelligent Investor, or you could use Betterment. But if you have a relationship with your bank and you felt comfortable with that, I wouldn't have any problem with you investing with that individual. But I wouldn't put the whole $60,000 in because, again, when that credit card comes due and we're going to start paying interest on it, I don't want all your money tied up in the stock market and now you're having to pull it out. So that's why I would make sure I do those other things first, okay? So let's go back over these. Number one, make sure you have a spending plan. Let's go ahead and get that written down and make sure you have a process of controlling the flow. Number two, I'd pay off the credit cards in full. Number three, open that online savings account, put in $15,000 in it. And then with the balance, decide between savings goals that you have in the next 5 years, and that goes in the online savings account. And then with the rest, I'd fund the Roth, another $6,000, and then consider investing the balance either with this gentleman you've been working with for 20 years at the bank in that balanced mutual fund, or looking at a lower cost solution like Schwab Intelligent Portfolios or Betterment. And with that, I think that at least gives you a track to run on. If you have any other questions, feel free to check with one of our coaches.
Olivia, thank you very much. We appreciate your call today. Rob West, always a great pleasure, sir. Thank you for your time, and we'll come back tomorrow and do it again.
Very good, Steve. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Rob. Well, before we run today, I'm curious as to how you think about money. Do you control how you spend it, save it, or give it? Or does it seem to control you? You know, the Bible has a lot to say about money, and we have lots of resources on our website to help you get a better understanding of biblical money management. You'll find them all when you click the store button at moneywise.org, moneywise.org. Well, that's it for today. For Rob West, I'm Steve Moore, hoping you'll join us again next time right here on MoneyWise.
MoneyWise is provided by MoneyWise Media and listeners like you.